are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are, another Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode. Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers. I'm here with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. He's also a writer at SB Nation, the Pro Football Weekly. Peter, how are you doing, my friend?
It's a little bit of a gloomy week for Packers Nation, but me personally, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Things are not good over here. I'm a little under the weather, as you can tell by the sound of my voice. 49ers are already in a very bad place this season. 49ers fans are hurting. We had to have a therapy session on Tuesday's Locked On 49ers, so that's where things are at with the 49ers right now. At 1-4, after losing to what many thought was the worst team in football in the Cardinals last week, and with Green Bay falling to 2-2-1 after the Week 5 loss to their NFC North rival Lions, I got to believe Packers fans probably feel the same way about the 49ers this week as the Niners felt about the Cardinals last week. Like, let's find out how bad this team really is, and if they lose this one, we might as well start looking toward 2019. Is that accurate?
Oh, that's 100% accurate, and I would say even more so than how the 49ers felt last week. I would assume that 49ers fans that are being honest with themselves were looking at this team, no Jimmy Garoppolo, and saying, we don't have a chance, so we should at least beat teams like Arizona. And if we can't even do that, then maybe we're in more trouble than we thought. If Green Bay can't beat the 49ers on Monday, I genuinely don't know what to say about it, because it just seems catastrophic to the point where I don't even have words for you, Brian. That is how catastrophic it would be. It would be like, okay, Aaron Rodgers is dealing with this knee injury right now. It would truly be worth saying, should the Packers start DeSean Kizer the rest of the year? Well, if they can't beat a team like the 49ers with CJ Beathard at home and with Aaron Rodgers, what is anyone doing here?
And so there's a lot of things to go along with that. So first of all, I got to ask about Aaron Rodgers' knee. You talked about his health. I saw him try to make a play with his legs last week, take a shot near the sideline. And I was thinking about Rodgers, you know, current and past injuries and how valuable he is to the Packers. And seeing Jimmy G go down along with the 49ers' hopes for 2018 a couple weeks ago, you want a competitor at quarterback. But I got to imagine a lot of Packers fans were like, dude, just run out of bounds, go down. We don't need that right now.
You know, I think it's one of those things. Rodgers did this. He's done this, I think, basically every week. He's had one or two plays where he has taken off to make a play with his feet, and he has done it to galvanize the team. He does it to say, we're not going down like this. And just like, follow me. It's one of those tough guy things. And unfortunately, if he did suffer a setback this week, and it sounds like he may have, then that is the unfortunate side effect of trying to galvanize your team, especially in a losing effort. I mean, that's what makes it so dispiriting, is the Packers lost the game despite the fact that Rodgers was doing stuff like that. Now, I will say, I felt like Aaron Rodgers was moving worse this week than he had in the 2 weeks even prior. I thought against Washington he looked much healthier, and then all of a sudden, against Buffalo looked pretty healthy, but then this week he didn't. So unfortunately, injuries don't progress in a linear fashion. For the 49ers, though, as you said, this is something that they thought, like, they should be beating dog teams like the Cardinals, assuming we all agree that's what they are. And mm-hmm. I think we do pretty much. But this was a team that a year ago, even when they were losing games, they were fighting and they were in games and games were close, and they were, you know, they were taking the Seahawks to the wire. And you weren't really sure how. For some reason, that didn't happen on Sunday. Is that a reflection of the talent on this team? Is it just we thought we were a playoff team and now it's clear we're not, so there's a little bit of give up? I mean, what is your diagnosis of why this team sans Jimmy Garoppolo, it looks so much worse than even they did pre-Jimmy G last year.
Well, they've lost a lot of other guys. They've just been hit really hard with the injury bug, so that's part of it. I think maybe personnel-wise, I think the 49ers, once Jimmy Garoppolo showed up and they won those five games down the stretch, I think that masked some of the lack of talent the 49ers had, and maybe they overvalued their own guys, and they thought they were a little bit better than they were personnel-wise coming into the season. So now it looks a lot like that 2017 team in 2018 now, because guys have been dinged up. And a couple weeks ago, when Joe Staley got hurt, he was out of the game. Richard Sherman was out of the game. It was basically the 2017 49ers again. But 2 weeks ago, C.J. Beathard played okay, and the 49ers were kind of that team you described last year, where they were in it and they were fighting, and Beathard's a really tough guy, but he just isn't quite talented enough to put a team on his back and win a football game. And then last week, you just saw them play against a really bad team that if you can't win that game, then you have to look at the schedule and think, I don't know how you can pencil in any victories from here on out if you can't beat the Cardinals. And so that's where the 49ers are at right now. I think talent-wise, they are not as good as they thought they were coming in. They've been hit with a ton of injuries, and the team's just not progressing in year two under Kyle Shanahan's offense like they thought they were. And I think a lot of that is just moving pieces, quarterbacks coming in and out, and wide receivers getting hurt. And it's crazy to think that an undrafted running back like Matt Breida makes such a huge difference. But when he left the game last week, there was not much the 49ers can do. And right now, one of their biggest weapons on offense who's also out is Marquise Goodwin. And he stretches the field. He does a lot of things for the 49ers offense. Without those two guys, they can't move the ball and be a super productive team. And it's crazy to think that Marquise Goodwin and Matt Breida are players that your offense can't be without. But it looks like that's the case for the 49ers right now.
Yeah, that I just was sad for you through that whole thing. I think hopefully my listeners will understand how incredibly lucky they are to be dealing with the problems they are. The problem is their all-world quarterback is playing like just a good quarterback and not the best quarterback in football. And when they don't have all their receivers, they still just have Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham and a backfield with three quality running backs. Like, these are the problems the Packers have, whereas the 49ers are a team that it seems like doesn't have an identity right now. And I guess I'm wondering, I was, in full transparency, Brian, I was someone that thought that the preseason hype was a little much with San Francisco. I just frankly didn't see the talent. And now with so many injuries, I really don't see the talent going into a game on Monday with all of these injuries. Where is San Francisco good?
They potentially are very good as a run defending team, with DeForest Buckner being probably their best player on defense right now. You've got young stud linebackers in Fred Warner and Reuben Foster. And so I think that's somewhere the 49ers are good. But the problem is they can't get off the field on third downs, because aside from Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman's been vintage Richard Sherman, which has been surprising. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from the time he's been out with injury, even coming back from that and his Achilles and his calf, I mean, the teams aren't throwing at him. And when they are, I think I saw on Pro Football Focus this week that he's got the lowest quarterback rating when targeted in the NFL right now. So Richard Sherman's been Richard Sherman. It's on the other side where the
146 snaps per completion. That's like basically he's allowed a completion every two games.
It's insane. Yeah, so he's not been a problem at all, but the 49ers can't generate a pass rush, and opposing teams have been able to target the cornerback opposite of him. The 49ers have been banged up at safety. And like you mentioned, the preseason hype with some of the players maybe underperforming, both safeties, Jaquaski Tartt and Adrian Colbert, who 49ers fans and I think the team really hoped were going to take off and be very good players and very good NFL starting caliber players. They've been banged up and not playing all that well when they were in there. And so it's been a disaster aside from Richard Sherman in the secondary. So that's the problem. But as a run defending team, they should be pretty good. The problem is once they get to third and 10, they can't get off the field. Oh, and George Kittle, he's a stud. So that's something the 49ers, I think, can hang their hat on as long as he stays healthy. Okay, we're going to get more into this Packers 49ers matchup on Monday Night Football and get to some predictions. And looking at that MyBookie line, 9.5 points. Whew. Packers are favored by quite a bit here. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you do know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They've been in the business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Some of the best parts is they have some in-game live betting, which is fun, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there. So, you know, you don't have to be some sort of a guru and a gambling guru to win money. You can bet on the over-under for how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So if you're a fantasy guy, MyBookie makes sense for you. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie, and don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account, and MyBookie will match your deposit 100% up to $1,000. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
So what is the situation now with the offense? Because C.J. Beathard comes in, you still have a very good offensive mind in Kyle Shanahan. There just aren't a lot of players there. You would think that the scheme, I mean, he was in Kyle Shanahan's first year in San Francisco, they were able to get plays out of players who are less than super talented. I don't know that Matt Breda is that good. I just know that Kyle Shanahan makes running backs in his offense look really good. I'm just wondering how much you think they can manufacture given the offensive skill talent or lack thereof they have moving forward. Because if there is one thing that, as you mentioned, the front of San Francisco, there is some talent there, DeForest Buckner, Reuben Foster, Fred Warner. You would think offensively that Kyle Shanahan would be able to scheme up some stuff and get guys free even without, you know, high level talent. But that's just not really been the case. Even when Jimmy Garoppolo was playing, that wasn't really the case.
Right. And yeah, the passing offense sputtered out of the gate, even with Jimmy Garoppolo in there, and has gotten worse under C.J. Beathard last week. And holding on to the ball.
Predictably.
Right. Yeah. And it looked like, and actually his CJ's first start, it wasn't as bad. And it was sort of like some people were like, okay, maybe he's progressed this year because the passing offense wasn't great coming out of the gate anyway. And CJ looked okay and was competitive. And then the next week it fell apart. And it looks like guys aren't getting open. And when guys aren't open, C.J. Beathard's holding the ball too long. He's not checking down. He doesn't have a lot of pocket movement and pocket presence. So two strip sacks and two interceptions last week. The 49ers had five turnovers. And Matt Breida is just a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense. And the run game has been improved this year. And I think that was a big part of why the 49ers targeted Mike McGlinchey in the draft. And he's been a solid at right tackle. And he was an upgrade as a run blocker. He's very good there. And the 49ers have been able to run the ball, especially with Matt Breida. Haven't been as strong with Alfred Morris running the ball. But now that Breida is going to be out at least this week with his ankle sprain, and he's just a guy who can't carry the load. He's a small change of pace sort of running back, even though he leads the NFL in yards per carry at 7.5 yards per carry. You just can't give him the ball 20 times because that's the way he's built. But it hasn't been as good with Alfred Morris. I think it can be a capable, you know, it's, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dust kind of thing with Alfred Morris in there. But then if you have no threat of throwing the ball, then, you know, teams aren't going to be worried about it. And C.J. Beathard is not going to put the team on his back. So really, when you look at this game, you don't see a path to victory for the 49ers unless they flip that script of turnovers and the ball bounces their way and they get some big plays to happen. And someone like Marquise Goodwin's able to go and they can hit some deep balls, because that's, if they don't have that, you really can't see where the 49ers offense can thrive. Even if they can run the ball a little bit, they're not going to be able to keep up with the Packers with their pass defense.
Yeah, the spread is opened at 9.5, and that line felt a little too high, especially after the Packers, you know, lose and they're down 24-0 in the first half to Detroit. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, what would you have to make the line for people to take C.J. Beathard in Lambeau on Monday night with the players around him? I mean, genuinely, I was trying to think of a roadmap for that to work out and for them to keep it, you know, in a touchdown or a field goal or whatever, 6-7 points. I don't see it.
It's tough. I think it's been as high as 11 at some sports books. I don't know if it went up and came back down because it got so high, but I agree. I don't know where the number would have to be for me to be confident betting on the 49ers to be within 9.5, 10 points of the Packers on the road, Lambeau Field. And I did say, and on Tuesday's therapy session episode, and not to pile on the 49ers, I tried to look at reasons why, okay, well, look, just when you think the Bills are the worst team in football, they come out and win a football game. Just when you think the Cardinals are the worst
team
in football.
Really?
Yeah, rookie quarterback on the road, Cardinals, worst team in football, right? Rookie quarterback, first road start, they're not going to win. They pull out a victory. So just when you think you know what's going on in the NFL, the league has a way of flipping things. And so now that we've talked about all this, the 49ers are going to go into Lambeau. They're going to pick off Aaron Rodgers. Or DeForest Buckner is going to fall on Aaron Rodgers. He's going to leave the game, and then they're going to pick off DeShone Kizer three times and hit some big plays on offense and return a kick for a touchdown, whatever, and then blow the Packers out on the road, you know. And just because that's the nature of the NFL, is you really can't with 100% confidence ever say, and that's why the line still at 9.5 is like, oh gosh, but you can't also say, yeah, I can predict a 49ers victory. I'm not confident in going back to your original point. I'm not confident at 10 points saying, yeah, I think the 49ers will definitely be within 10 points of the Packers.
I didn't like any of that hypothetical situation you put together there. That got dark.
I had to, I mean, you have to get creative sometimes.
You truly do.
But so, and anytime a team underperforms, I want to talk to you about this, because anytime a team underperforms, fans start to get a little squirmy, and you know, you start to hear calls for changes on the coaching staff. It's happening for San Francisco right now, but this young staff, at least the GM and head coach, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they're not going anywhere. There's been some calls for defensive coordinator Robert Saleh too. It's a very young staff, and so I think there's some growing pains there, but I don't expect anything to happen for the 49ers, because we talked about the lack of talent that goes along with that. But the wheels have been spinning kind of for a while in Green Bay. Is head coach Mike McCarthy on the hot seat?
I would say, you know, do you have seat warmers in your car?
No, I'm not that fancy.
All right. Well, I live in New York, so I don't even have a car, but you're familiar with the concept.
Yes.
You know, when it's like, it's that sort of nippy fall day, and you put in the seat warmers, you can put on like two.
Yes.
I think that's where the seat is right now.
Okay.
But if they get their pants pulled down by Sean McVay and Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick at all, I think it, whatever the hottest seat warmer setting is, like a six or whatever it is, like, I think that's where we are. And I think, you know, I wrote this for SB Nation earlier in the week, and I think the phrase that I used was the Packers season is sort of cantilevered on the brink here. They can go one of two ways. They can either go the relaxed way that they did in 2014, figure things out and put together, you know, or they can go the way that they did in 2015 and continue to look disorganized, play just well enough. And unfortunately, they're already 2-2-1. If they were, say, 3-2, and then could be 4-2 getting into their bye week, that one tie, which really was the NFL's fault for that ridiculous Clay Matthews call, but also Mason Crosby missed a field goal at the end of regulation that would have won it had won it outright for them. That would have the Packers in a much better position, because the end of the schedule is also very favorable for them. The beginning of the schedule was soft. The end of the schedule is sort of soft. And then the middle is really where it's tough. Well, they didn't get enough done early in the season for them to have a margin for error. And they can't endure another 2015 type season where the offense never really gets it to where it should be when you have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, 1,000 yards almost of offense in the last 2 weeks combined against two, like, not terrible defenses. And in the case of the Bills, a potentially very good defense. And they managed 22 and 23 total points. Part of that is Mason Crosby missed 5 kicks, and that doesn't happen. But the point is, this should be one of the 5 best offenses in football. It's just not. I don't think Aaron Rodgers believes in this scheme anymore. I think that is a reason for a lot of the problems that they have, because he doesn't trust the schemed looks for Green Bay. I think he relies a little bit too much on his own ability and talent to make second reaction plays and improv plays. Whereas if he would just work the pattern and do what the play asks of him, you know, which is tough when you have the probability that someone like Aaron Rodgers does, the offense is just so much better. And I think, and I said this in 2015 and the run the table stretch I think saved Mike McCarthy's job. You go to the NFC Championship game, you know, two out of three seasons, it's hard to fire a coach. But I think in 2016, you saw a lot of the same problems where Rodgers just did not trust what Mike McCarthy wanted to do. And that doesn't mean that what Mike McCarthy wanted to do was bad. But I think at a certain point, the voice in the room just needs to change. Bill Walsh had a 10-year rule with coaches. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid needed to leave Philadelphia. And guess what? He is one of the most revered coaches in the league for his offensive prowess. So I think at the end of the year, if this is not a Super Bowl team or something close, there will be a change at head coach. And frankly, I think there should be, given what we know right now. If nothing changes right now, they need a new head coach.
Who lasts longer in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy or Mason Crosby?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think they trust Mason Crosby. And he had one bad stretch about 5 years ago with the team. Mike McCarthy stuck with him and it paid off. He hit the two biggest kicks in Packers history in Dallas 2 years ago in the playoffs, hit two 50-plus yard field goals, including the game winner. A lot of people remember the Jared Cook throw from Aaron Rodgers. Well, that set up a very long field goal that Mason Crosby had to make, and he did it. So on the other hand, kickers have a short shelf life in the NFL, most of them anyway, and even all-time franchise greats like Robbie Gould, Adam Vinatieri, Mason Crosby, they can be jettisoned, and we've seen them jettisoned. And, you know, I think the Patriots are a little bit worried about Steven Gostkowski, as reliable as he's been over the years, because lately he's been a little less reliable. So, you know, there are a lot of teams that have less enviable kicker situations than Green Bay. It was nice to see him make the one at the end of the Lions game. But, you know, he is probably like two more bad games away from the Packers having to make some calls about who's available on the streets, because it's just not something that they can abide, not when they feel like they're a team that should be contending in the NFC.
All right, Peter, we got to get to some predictions here, and I do want to ask you one more question about the young wide receivers in Green Bay, but I got to tell the people about Vivid Seats. If you're trying to get to the game, you want to head to Lambeau, watch the 49ers upset the Packers on Monday Night Football. Go to Vivid Seats. You can attend your favorite concert, comedy, whatever you want to do. Vivid Seats has you covered. They're the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, you can sort by seats, or in the section or row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater tickets and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off $200 or more as a new customer. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. Before I let you go, Peter, there's one more thing I want to talk about here, and with the rookie wide receivers, and I really like what the Packers did with the draft in 2018, because they drafted three wide receivers, all big-bodied guys, and I know a lot of 49ers fans really liked Equanimeous St. Brown, so I want to find out what the deal is and the development has been for Equanimeous St. Brown, Jamon Moore, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, besides being on the all-name team with those guys. Mm-hmm. How's that group of rookie pass catchers developed so far? And I think I saw all three of them on the field against the Lions last week.
You did? So it was funny, during the game, one of the sideline reporter for Fox had asked Aaron Rodgers how his chemistry was with these young receivers. And he said something that you never hear quarterbacks say about their receivers. So she asks him about how the chemistry and timing is, and he just says, not great. because they're rookies, number one. But number two, because Rodgers is dealing with this injury, so they haven't had a ton of practice time together. And so the last 2 weeks, he's practiced on Thursday. Green Bay is one of the few teams that also practices on Saturday before Sunday games. They're going to practice on Saturday, obviously, before a Monday game as well. So it's going to take some time, but the physical talent is absolutely evident, and we saw it a couple times against the Lions. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a freak athlete. At his size, to be 6'3 and a half, 6'4 and run 4.37 and have hands, I mean, that is a rare gift. And 49ers fans with Marquise Goodwin know the value of just pure, hot, sexy speed.
Absolutely.
And that is what MVS has. We can just go MVS.
Okay.
And same with Equanimeous St. Brown. He's just EQ for most Packer fans. He's EQ to Aaron Rodgers. He had a great play at the end of regulation against Detroit where he caught a ball on a dig route, turned the corner, got a block from Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and turned a 20-yard gain into a 54-yard gain. His size-speed ratio is absolutely incredible. I mean, 6'5", 220, and he runs 4'4". So those are the guys right now. They're clearly ahead of Jamon Moore. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a great game. I think he had 8 catches, 80 yards, something like that. They combined for 10 catches for 160 yards, I think, something like that, 157 yards. So, you know, to have that kind of production in your first game as in the NFL, really, as starters, I think speaks to the level of talent that they have physically. It's just more now, you know, Roger said this, think less, play faster. And when you're thinking and you run 4.3, it's like, okay, well, now I'm just moving at normal speed. But then imagine how fast they could play if they're thinking a little bit less. So the Packers lost, but the snaps that they got for those guys, I felt like was critical. And, you know, that is something that they can build on moving forward. My last thing for you, you mentioned you had to have a therapy session on Tuesday, and we actually had a little bit of a therapy session of our own on the Locked On Packers show. As you move forward now, if San Francisco is going to have a top five pick, if they're going to address some of the needs in the offseason, it's never too early for fan service when it comes to the offseason moves. Where are you looking? Are there players you have in mind? I mean, what do they have to do to bridge that gap between where they are when they're healthy and where they want to get to?
I think there's two big ones, and one of them has been a thing for a while, and so far in the Lynch and Shanahan regime, they just have not addressed it, and I've talked about it a ton on my podcast, is the pass rush. It's not there. They need some edge guys, and they've drafted 3 first round defensive ends in a row, but they're all bigger bodied guys. DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, they were drafted in the old regime for the 3-4 defense. They're more 3-4 defensive ends, but Buckner has been pretty good moving into that 3 technique and playing defensive tackle. Then they draft the first pick of the new regime was a similar guy, and he played 3-4 defensive end in college, and that's Solomon Thomas, and he's not that flexible edge rusher, and they have not addressed that position since, and the guys they have brought in have all been big-bodied guys, so they have a bunch of big-bodied defensive ends, and it's been pretty good against the run, but they can't get after the quarterback, so that's number one. So if the 49ers end up with the top five pick, you got to be looking at Nick Bosa, I don't know if there's any other pure edge rushing defensive ends that would be top five picks. There's Cleveland Farrell, there's Montez Sweat, there's Brian Burns from Florida State. Those guys might go a little bit later in the first round. So I think that's a position.
Who's the Florida kid?
Florida State is Brian Burns.
No,
I'm not sure about Florida.
Oh, he's got a.
You have to look that one up. I'm drawing a blank on the Florida guy. There's Cleveland Farrell.
Ja'Kai Polite.
Oh, yes. You know what? I've seen his name very recently. He wasn't someone I was looking at preseason, but I have not watched him yet.
He is unbelievable.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's going to be next up on my list then. Because, yeah, 49ers fans, myself included, and I'm a draft Nick, and I do a shadow 49ers draft, which, by the way, Equanimeous St. Brown was one of my shadow picks for the 49ers last year. I will be heavily scouting all of the defensive ends and all the pass rushers in college football. So that's definitely the first name. That's going to go to the top of my queue right there. I would say the other position the 49ers really need, and it's pretty clear, and I think Pierre Garçon's not going to be around for too long. He was a stopgap guy that the 49ers just had to bring in because they gutted the roster and basically had zero receivers coming in 2017. I think a true number one, big-bodied, you talk about having a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", and runs 4'4", flat. 49ers just don't have that. So they should definitely be looking at guys who could be potentially true number one matchup nightmare wide receivers.
All right. Well, turn on that Ja'Kai Polite tape, and I promise you, you will have a new draft crush. That dude okay. can absolutely dip and bend the edge, get off the corner. He is really fun. I think he's going to be a first round pick. I don't know if he's going to be a top five pick. He's a little undersized, but man, is he fun to watch.
Speaking of hot seat, I already have a fever because I'm kind of sick, but I'm getting a little bit warm over here just hearing you talk about that. So I guess real quick, so Packers favored by 9.5 predictions here. I think we both, I don't think any sane person can predict the 49ers to go to Lambeau and say definitively they're going to go win that football game, right? But 9.5, 10 points, where do you think this game's going to end?
I think this is one of those like 31-10 kind of games, if I'm being honest. Yep. The offense is really close to breaking out, and I look at that secondary, and I think Geronimo Allison is going to play in this game. I don't think Randall Cobb is going to play in this game, but to just have Adams, Allison, Graham, and the running backs, I think that's enough. And I think I've been saying for 2 weeks that I think that the Packers needed a get right game. And I thought that offensively they would have one last week. They were close. This is the get right game. And I think the offense finds its stride a little bit. And I think they hang 30 on San Francisco.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's far off the mark. And even at 9.5, I don't think I could take the 49ers to cover that. And I think it's one of those things where the 49ers might be able to keep it close for the first half. And then at some point, Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to do what Aaron Rodgers does and air it out and beat the 49ers and probably running away in the second half. And so that's probably what this thing looks like. So, yeah, I'm going to, you know, a couple of touchdowns, I think the Packers will have a nice, easy win. And I don't think Mike McCarthy or Mason Crosby, I think they'll have seats on the plane going back. Well, I guess they're not flying anywhere, but they will still
the bus
be,
ride home.
Yeah, they'll still have jobs on the bus ride home from Lambeau, I think, after Monday night.
For now. All right, Brian, this was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we won't get to do it for the playoffs, but it was fun to do.
Yeah, well, hopefully in the future we'll have some more of those great 90s Packers, 49ers, and even the real quick Kaepernick era. That was, man, that playoff game, that Kaepernick game, that's one of the all-timers for the 49ers and thinking about 49ers and big wins. But hopefully, yeah, sometime in the future we'll have some more big NFC playoff matchups between the Niners and Packers.
That would be great.
All right.
Jimmy G against Aaron Rodgers is going to drive ratings, so I have feeling we're going to see it.
Yeah, that will blow up, absolutely.
All right, Brian, take care.
All right, thanks, Peter. All right, thanks again to Peter for joining me on the show. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. I will be back Friday with the weekly Winkler. We're going to dip back into the mailbag and look again at this Monday Night Football contest against the Packers. I am not going to have a show on Thursday because I don't think my voice is going to be able to handle it. This cold is kind of knocking me out. So I want to take a game off, kind of like Matt Breida, make sure it doesn't dog me all season long. Be back with Winkler on Friday. Get those mailbag questions in at BD Peacock or via email, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you guys Friday right here on Locked On 49ers.